afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour. It's Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape is everything John Deere. Go up and see them. You need parts, service. They can fix all brands tractors. And they've got a pretty good inventory in the lot right now, so go up and get you a new tractor. And they're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, right between Oasis and Pine Grove exits. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So today is August 1st, 2021. We are discussing prison, specifically the closure of the California Correctional Center up in Susanville, the slated closure. How about that? We'll just call it that, the proposed closure. Let's make it sound more temporary than it is. And another great idea from Gavin Newsom, just in case anybody was curious where that idea started. And there is... you know, our guest is Hunter Angel. He's been a warden. I've got his bio posted at wethepeopleradio.us. I want to ask you, though, Hunter, before we get into whichever phase we're moving to now, the governor, it seems like things are speeding up. So it seems like the governor kind of wants to get this done. Now, he's on target for a recall on September 15th, so, you know, 6 weeks from now. He'll be on the voters' block there for a recall. You think this has everything to do with just your opinion. Do you think getting this past the tipping point is a goal in case he gets tossed out?
So what I've told everybody is, so my opinion on that is that the only way we're going to save CCC is to recall Governor Newsom. We can delay the process through court filings and stuff like that, but my personal opinion is we're not going to be successful in the end. The judges in this state have been appointed by Democrats, so we're not going to win that fight either.
Yeah.
Our Northern California counties are represented by some conservative folks. Are they stepping up and trying to get this thing reversed at all? Do you know? Are they working on it?
Well, Brian Dahle is our state senator, and his wife Megan is our assemblyman. And I was at a town hall with YCCC, and he basically said, with the supermajority of Democrats, his hands are tied. There's not much he can do. He expressed frustration, and of course, the audience expressed frustration with him because of that. But the reality is, I believe there's only 9 Republican state senators in the state, And he is from Lassen County, so you would think he would have...
Right.
I'm not saying he doesn't have interest, but he did articulate how he has a lot of issues throughout his district, and sometimes you have to save your political clout for one you think you can win.
Well, he's always expressed his ability to reach across the aisle and work with the other side, and I'm just kind of surprised that we haven't really got much of that done this time.
I'm not going to say he hasn't tried. His presentation to the group at the town hall a couple of weeks ago was one of frustration and throwing his hands up that he just wasn't going to be successful.
That's too
but
bad.
He didn't. Did he actually? I mean, I know probably not in this many words, but did he actually say it wasn't really worth expending the political capital?
No, Aaron, he didn't say that. He articulated several other really pressing issues in other areas within the district and asked the audience, which one do I make a priority? Well, he was talking to an audience of people wanting to say CCC. And I get where he's at. He's not going to get everything he's asking for. And I don't want to put words in the man's mouth, but it didn't encourage the crowd.
All right.
I'll say that.
Well, this is kind of a big deal. I mean, California's burning up, and to lower the crews, fire, that just makes no sense. Of course, there's a lot of things in California that don't make any sense, so
just
throw that all in the same basket.
That's no longer criteria.
Yeah.
The Department of Corrections is going to tell you to that response, their response is going to be, it's going to be a seamless transition with another institution taking over that responsibility. I want to share something else with you about inmate firefighters. So we, the California Department of Corrections contracts with some counties to, for county inmates that meet the criteria to come out and fight fires. We call them boarders because they're from a county, but we're boarding them in CDCR. And I've mentioned CCC and SEC are sister institutions. They're identical. The only difference is CCC has an outside facility, 380-man bed facility outside the perimeter of the prison, and that's where we train our firefighters. SCC does it inside the prison. So the inmate boarders from the county, state law precludes them from going inside the secure perimeter of prison, but they can function on the outside like they do with CCC. So right now, one of the biggest contracts is with LA County, undoubtedly. SCC will pick up the inmates from LA County and transport them up to their prison, and then CCC will come get them, bring them to California Correctional Center, train them as firefighters, and then transport them back down to CCC so they could go fight fire in LA County. That whole process will be gone. That population, there's contracts from Shasta County. Last time I looked, and it's been 2 years, there's only like three or four inmates from Shasta County that were part of the program. But because state law precludes those inmates from coming inside a secure perimeter, and SCC doesn't have an outside facility, don't know how they're going to facilitate that. We've been doing it for 10 years, though.
Right. Holy cow. It's
just kind of gets dumber and dumber. No wonder you can't explain it.
And I know you guys want to take this. I don't know where you want to take this, but I'd like to finish the point before the break about the infrastructure.
Yeah,
the CCC.
Absolutely.
So when I talked about generator comes on automatically when the power goes out, there's a 5-second delay. CCC and High Desert both have that capability, and they use their own institutional funds for the most part to put that infrastructure in because of power outages during snowstorms and stuff like that. Well, the dynamics that have changed now is PG&E does routine shutoffs down in the Central Valley where SCC is situated. SCC's power, when the power goes out, their generated power only provides emergency power, which is minimal for lights and some electric sockets and some refrigeration units and stuff like that. But we are the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. You can't run rehabilitative programs when there's no lights on in the, or you just have minimal emergency lighting. You can't healthcare encounters. The department's been sued, and healthcare is one of the biggest, most costly things we do. But when we had a power outage at Sierra when I was there, we had to go rent. We're trying to rent generators with the rest of the community because the power was out and doesn't usually go out there now. But it's the new normal. The PG&E doing their role in shutouts.
Right. Right.
We had to rent generators to run refrigeration units that had inmate medication in them. They're way behind CCC in the infrastructure. They're trying to get new roofs. CCC has new roofs. They're trying to get cooling in their dorms, which they should because it's 10 degrees warmer down there day-to-day than it is at CCC. But CCC has cooling in their dorms. So there's a lot more money that's going to have to go in to bring SCC up to the CCC standards, but you're going to close CCC. And I'm not even proposing to close SCC. I don't think it's not a good selection either. But I can make a case of compare face-to-face CCC to at least five other prisons with similar missions, except they don't have camps, but they house level 1, 2, and 3 inmates, and show you how CCC has historically done it cheaper, is doing it cheaper, and in the future will do it cheaper because they don't need as many repairs as the rest of the department does.
Mm-hmm. See, that just none of that, I mean, that's where you have to come back to, it's got to be a politically targeted at the county, because from a logistics standpoint, it makes no sense. So people might think, oh, well, you know, you're going to save on all the cost of employees. No, you're not going to do that either because they're all being transferred, right?
For the most part. Well, the vast majority of them is. I'll make this case, too. If you're concerned about the employees, there's three prisons in the Chino Valley. If you close one of those two prisons that cost more than CCC and fulfill the same function, they got two places to go to. The employees at CCC has one place to go to, High Desert State Prison. There's already been, and these are rumors that are pretty well substantiated because of people I know, 240 people have already put their transfers in. 140 houses went on the market in this community the very first week that the announcement came out back in April.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that tells you what's going to happen to that community.
And I don't have a dog in that fight. I'm on a pension. I'm not going to sell my house. None of that is going to impact me, but it's going to impact the community immensely.
So you're relocating all these people, so there's no cost savings there. You're costing them a lot because they're going to have to live in a place with a much higher cost of living, provided they can find a house. I mean, we're having this big housing shortage, so we're going to create a bunch of open houses in Susanville, but no jobs, so people won't move there. Yeah.
So there won't be a cost savings regardless of which prison, because prisons have vacancies. So as these staff move around, mm-hmm. the prison they go to is going to have their operating budget is going to be the same as it was before. And CCCs will diminish significantly. They're not going to do a cold shutdown. Their term is a warm shutdown. There's a fire camp on grounds. So that's going to continue to function, which is good. There's inmate fire. Every prison or every group of two prisons has an inmate firehouse where inmates actually are trained in structured fires in case a prison catches on fire.
Oh.
And that firehouse has always been attached to CCC, and it'll be switched over to High Desert, but it's still going to function. And the heating for those two facilities I just mentioned comes from a boiler house, an old, antiquated 1960s boiler house that has to be staffed 24/7, 365. So you're still going to have at least five staff members that make close to $100,000 a year working at that prison just to keep that boiler house going.
Huh. That's efficient.
I'm sure.
Gosh.
There may be an effort down the road to tie it into the High Desert boiler house, but now we're talking millions more dollars to try to tie that in. or relocate the firehouse. They just built a brand new kitchen for the firehouses and the minimum support. So that was part of that $58 million I said they put into the prison last 2 years. And they're going to have to run the sewer pond. So the way it works right now, High Desert is on the uphill side. So they pump the water out of the ground, and they're responsible for that, maintaining it, all the costs associated with it. And then CCC is on downhill, so they're responsible for the sewer pond that services both institutions. That cost isn't going away either. So there's still it's not going to be completely shut down. And then I mentioned earlier that the shelled housing that was activated in 1988 is it'd be like the newest prison facility that's been shut down. There's rumors that they're going to incorporate that in the High Desert and let High Desert run that. But that's going to be after they move all the staff out of the community, if it happens, because it's, like I said, it's just a rumor, but it makes sense because it's new infrastructure. And then they're going to bring 40, 50, 60 staff back to fill the positions on that facility after they've already relocated. That doesn't make any sense to me either. Mm-hmm. And I want to clarify, that is a rumor, but it's a rumor in my mind makes a lot of sense, because if I was running the department, I would keep that up because it's new design prison.
Yeah. And to get back to the actual number of inmates in the state, they're not sending people to CCC, but it's not because they don't have people to send there. It's just because they're not sending them there. If they do, it'll blow their trajectory, I guess, toward closure. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, they just quit sending inmates there. But through attrition, the number's going to continue to drop with inmates paroling or transferring for legitimate transfer reasons, and it'll make their job, as they get close to that June 2020 date, it'll make their job easier to get rid of the rest of the inmates.
Idiots.
They've closed one. So there's two level one, two facilities at that prison. There's a level three facility And then there's a facility outside the prison that I mentioned where they train the firefighters. They've already closed one of the two facilities. They just moved all the inmates off of what they call A facility and put them on B facility. And so part of that, one-third of that prison is vacant right now.
Doesn't that make the B facility a little bit overcrowded?
I don't know what the pop is over there right now. That it's their population is about 750 inmates right now, and the design capacity is 905. So they've effectively reduced the population at the whole prison by not sending anybody there.
All right. Oh, okay.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and letting them go. We have to take a really quick break. We're going to be back with our guest, Hunter Angel. We're talking about prison closure in California because, you know, obviously we just don't have any crime here. When you watch the news, it's all fake.
Yeah.
All that crime you're seeing, yeah.
Nah.
No, it's not really happening. It's what is it, CGI? Yeah, that must be it. Barbara Boxer really wasn't mugged. Oh, wait, no, she was. She was. I'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at Bill's fired. At We the People Radio.
.us.
You're still fired.
Welcome to the Hotel California. Champagne on ice, and she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't kill the beast. Last thing I remember, I was running.
Told me that was inappropriate.
That is just not a scary shower song. You're going to ruin it for everybody next time they hear that song. Now
it just seemed like such a good
is
prison
wrong
song.
With you? Good lord!
We've used it on our NSA shows, and it's like, oh my god, it works for prison too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we
love it. We can ruin a good song for everyone. Oh my gosh! So Hunter, we haven't fully explored probably the. All the revenue to the city and the loss of jobs and all those kinds of things that are going to hit that area. And I don't think people really, you know, it's like anything else. People who don't live in areas that have fire don't realize how much we need all these things. People who don't live in rural areas don't understand when you take something like that out of a community that there's this huge ripple effect that happens. You want to kind of hit some of that?
Yeah. Chico State University did a study on what the closure of CCC would, what the impact would be to the community, and they said it would be a $134 million reduction in income, not to the city and county, but to the people that work here and then pay taxes on that money, and businesses that support the prison, and businesses that support the employees of the prison. So that's significant for a small town. Susanville, if you look at the city limit sign, it says there's 30,000 people in Susanville. Well, I mentioned early on that in 1992, the citizens of the county voted to build a second prison. In their negotiations with the state, the state allowed them to annex the two prison populations into the city. So they get tax dollars back from the state of California based on the inmate population also. So that's going to get reduced in half with the closure. The tax dollars that the citizens pay, the devaluation of price of housing is going to impact property taxes for the city and county. Basically, you're taking there's about 1,200 employees roughly at that prison. So even if some transfer to High Desert, that meant some people from High Desert left to make room for them. That's 1,200 families in this community that are, for the most part, law-abiding. So with less revenue, you're going to have less police, you're going to have less sheriffs, less firefighters inside the city of Susanville, but you're taking out a law-abiding element of the community and making them leave.
And they all pay taxes.
They all pay taxes, and what's left is your homeless and the people that you have repetitive problems with, law enforcement having to deal with.
Terrific.
With less funding to do it with.
Just out of curiosity, I know that when they put in Pelican Bay over there, that's obviously a different level of prison. And so I'm curious. I know they had a lot of families of inmates moved into the area, so it really changed the demographic of their town. The level one and two, I don't know anything about prison. I'm guessing they're there longer, and maybe their families don't move to be near them. Maybe they just write them letters or whatever.
That's true. I can tell you based on visiting numbers. At CCC, the visiting numbers are significantly less than the numbers at High Desert, which is a level three and four prison, high security. So you're right. They go to prison for 1 to 3 years, and they're coming home right away. People aren't going to relocate the following, so they don't become members of the community. High Desert, different story. They don't even travel. A lot of the inmates at CCC don't get inmate visitation because they're going to be out of fire camp in a short period of time, and if family would rather wait, it's like at a fire camp. I'm sorry for stuttering, but I'm trying to find my words. At a fire camp, the visiting area is like a city park. There are picnic benches and barbecues, MHUs, and shade trees, and a swing set for the kids to play on. And it's not a prison environment. So a lot of people just opt out not to come and visit while they're at the institution, wait till they get to fire camp if they're going to fire camp.
Oh, wow. That's kind of an unseen benefit.
I wouldn't want to bring my 3-year-old to a prison, but I might take him to a camp that looks like a park and there's some guy walking around with a uniform on.
Sure. Well, that's kind of that's another incentive to become part of that whole system.
That whole program, yep. So the impact is going to be immense. Until it happens, we don't really know. But I want to go back to the loyalty the department or the county has shown to the department. We saw we as residents. I'm not speaking for everybody, but we saw that the logging industry was going away. So they jumped on the opportunity to get a clean industry and provide good paying jobs. And a lot of communities didn't do that. They didn't do it. They voted those proposed prisons down. And in the case of Lassen County, they didn't. They jumped all over it. So, Ray Charles can see it. This is political.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. It's pretty obvious that you guys are being, you're being singled out. Tell me this. There are unions that represent probably I don't know if it works like a lot of other things where you have, unions for management, union for kind of rank and file or whatever. But the union that represents the bulk of the people that will be affected, are they being helpful?
So in California civil service, they're broke down by job occupation. So the custody staff for bargaining unit 6, there's support staff for SEIU, I think the bargaining unit 1. Those are the two big ones. The president of SEIU tried to pledge $1 million to help us out on our campaign. He got shot down by his board. The Unit 6, the custody staff, they just gave $1 or $2 million to basically $1.7 million to Newsom to defend himself on the recall effort. Now the local chapter at California Correctional Center, themselves, they're doing everything they can to save the prison, but they're just one unit out of 36 or 35 guarding units.
So the guys that should be helping them, that should be standing with them to help them save their institution and their jobs and, you know, their homes and all that kind of stuff, and let their kids stay in the schools that they're in. And they decided that they'd jump in with the governor that's probably going to be recalled.
And yes, the one responsible for shutting them down.
Yeah.
So what they did was they entered an agreement with the governor that when the pandemic started and the forecast was that we were going to be billions in the hole, to take a reduction in wages and stuff, and then get a subsequent raise in 2022, I believe, when this was all over. They've doubled down on it. So when the state reported they had $60 billion surplus, and that's a conservative number, they get reinstated their voluntary pay cuts, give them a pay raise, and they know that if Newsom wins, they're going to have to negotiate with him for their next contract bid. So they're hedging their bets that they're going to that if Newsom wins, they're going to get a lucrative contract next contract negotiations.
Mm. Wow. And what recourse do the people in these unions have? Just out of curiosity, well, since I'm not in
the union. They have what's called fair share. They can still have the money deducted from their check each month, but if it's not go to the union, they can send it to a nonprofit. And that's their recourse. But then at the same time, specifically Bargain Unit 6 is the one I'm talking about. Those are peace officers, and if they either get in trouble where they're facing adverse action for something that happened at work, or they're facing litigation from the inmate population, the union does provide representation. So most of them are afraid to distance themselves from the union.
Right.
Yeah, when I was at Pelican Bay, they were getting sued because one of the inmates' cookies was broken. And with his lunch, he kept getting broken cookies at lunch. And
you never got any broken cookies when you were.
I was talking about you, Bill. I was just trying to keep it quiet.
No, that was you.
I was just
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, litigation's real. I'm as a retired warden. I was named in every lawsuit that came across for 2 years. I was in Jamestown, and I'm still 20 months later, still working with the deputy attorney generals on some of these lawsuits.
You broke all the cookies.
I wish it was just cookies.
Yeah, when they told us that, we were like, "What? Broken cookies?" We're like, "Are you kidding? Is this does this mean, is this secret prison talk?" They're like, "No, broken cookies."
Yeah.
Oh my God, those people need less time in the library. They need more time at fire camp.
So I wanted to touch on something real quick. There was
an
employee at CCC that wrote the department for a Freedom of Information Act request. And a response was given by the Department of Corrections. And on the surface, you don't know anything. It kind of sounds good. But there's a lot of things in here that are inaccurate. In fact, the things that they talk about, they're justifying the closure of CCC because during the COVID-19 pandemic, it appeared the virus has spread more easily in dormitories than with themselves environment. Well, the prison life that I articulated costs more to run, going to cost more in the future, have dormitory settings. SCC. Part of their response was the low occupancy rate at the prison was only 79% in April. Well, they'd already started, they quit sending inmates there before the announcement in April. So they created that statistic for themselves. They've done this. They talk about retention and it's hard to keep staff at this prison. And they have attachments and graphs, and they cite that in this response. And see vacancy great today at 17.5 right at this spot in time, February 1st. And there was 8 programs with a higher vacancy rate. Some of them in suburban communities like New Folsom and CSP SAC. So it's ironic that they try to spin these numbers, but they don't have a justification. Operating cost per bed capacity, CCC was the lowest. And they get that as an attachment out and why they're closing CCC.
Yeah.
This thing doesn't make sense.
No, even the things they're using for justification don't quite add up. And
I'm not an attorney, but I'm sure an attorney is going to base this on the penal code sections that say close your contract facilities before you close your existing infrastructure, your prison that you actually own. And like I said, California City is still running. And that's I don't know how you would argue that in court if it could ever get to court. They also mentioned how many cadets they had to send to CCC to keep it full, and they were number 9. They're using this as their argument, but they got the, as a scale of 1 to 30, they got the 9th most cadets. So those 8 prisons, they got more cadets than they did. Mm-hmm. Out of the Correctional Officers Academy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. San Quentin, they got 200. San Quentin got 480. San Quentin is the albatross, but they will never close San Quentin because that's where death row is, and all those court cases are heard in Marin County.
Yeah.
And the logistics of changing those cases or being sued by all those attorneys representing the death row inmates, they don't want to even open that can of worms.
Although it's in a spectacular location, and from a real estate standpoint, I'm sure somebody's rubbing their hands together wishing that would happen.
Highest per cost inmate of any prison in the state.
Oh, it's got to be. It's in a spectacular location. I mean, you come across a bridge, you're like, what the heck is that? Oh, my God, that's San Quentin.
It's beautiful. Climate's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to take a quick break. Before we go, though, I had gotten a little note here that the staff relocation and the housing losses mean, you know, foreclosures, rental losses, all those things to the market in the Susanville area. But this other note here, correctional officers make $80,000 to $100,000 per year. And these are the people who coach high school sports, Little League, and all those things in the community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you think about the shopping dollars and all those different things, but you also think about the volunteer hours. These are people who volunteer in the community and have skills.
Well, when they leave, the kids leave with them. So, you know,
maybe
the whole thing is.
But you lose a lot of quality people out of your community. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. So we'll take a couple of minutes to all be annoyed and frustrated, and we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Good job.
Who's to say I can't do everything? Well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with. This old man and me were at the bar and we were having us some beers and swapping night on cares, talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace, all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
And there you have it, the summation.
In closing.
I mean, really, what more can you say? Oh, Hunter, what the heck? Okay, so for all the people out there that are super frustrated and would like to actually help, just before we run out of time and don't get to that part, is there anything regular people can do? I'm assuming if they live in another area of California and are represented by somebody who thinks this is a bright idea, they should be pounding the phone lines.
Yes, the our state senators or assemblymen are on board. So calling one of the Dollies isn't going to help.
No.
Go to keepccc.org or yccc.org, those two websites. Stay abreast of the information. September 14th, please get out and vote. Bring your family, take your neighbors, get friends out. We need to vote on September 14th. It doesn't just impact this issue, but the state as a whole.
Yeah, and God knows that dumpster fire needs to stop burning.
I know we're jumping around now, but I wanted to share something that might be of interest to some of the listeners. So we have 9 prisons in Central Valley, and you've probably heard of Valley Fever. So based on the fungus in the soil, certain people get extremely sick, and those prisons all have that fungus in the soil. So inmates are tested for their susceptibility. Did I say that right?
Yeah. That's a
Valley Fever. And there's a lot it hinders the Department of Corrections on how they're going to house inmates.
Huh.
And a lot of the inmates that end up at CCC can't be housed at one of those 9. So we just limited 9 prisons. And I've been told that by a doctor at CCC that the susceptibility to Valley Fever has a lot to do with the pigmentation of your skin. The darker your pigmentation, the more susceptible you are. There's exceptions to every rule, but that's the generality.
Hmm.
So, anyways, I just thought that might be of interest to some people that we cited 9 prisons in an area where high percentage of our inmates can't even be housed. So
that's crazy. And for people out of the area, I mean, they call the level 3 and 4 prison high desert because that's where you guys are. You're in the high desert. I mean, you're down the road from Sierra Army Depot where they store things that come back from war zones, clothing, things like that, things that have to be stored in a super dry environment. You have very low humidity. You're not really heavily forested in a lot of that area. And you have a very different climate than the Central Valley of California. I never even thought about that.
And High Desert is the number one employer, the biggest employer in the county. The CCC is the second, and the Sierra Army Depot is number 3. Hmm. Those are the 3 primary. We're a county seat, so we have all the government offices here from Forest Service, BLM, Cal Fire. We have all that, but the primary employers are the 2 prisons and the Sierra Army Depot.
Wow. So on the prison side, you have to figure most people don't deal with that at all. If they're lucky and they don't marry the wrong people or, you know, have relatives who go wayward, what do people not know about this system that they really should in order to put it in context with this issue?
So what I would say as a department, the rehabilitation, we look at ourselves as part of public safety. It's no different than the officer that arrests somebody on the streets or the courts that send them away to prison. We're just the final leg where we try to turn out a better citizen than we receive. And so there's penal code sections that say if they have if they test lower than a 9 reading level, we have to enroll them in school. We have school, we have GED testing, high school diplomas, we have vocational training, so we can, these are guys that can't go to camp. Vocational trades, so we can teach them to learn a life skill, so when they get out, they could be employable. We have rehabilitative programs. A lot of those are inmate-led. I can tell you that my last couple of years at High Desert and then at Jamestown, I would stay late a couple of nights a month, and I'd go sit through those programs. And it seemed like I was the first time in a question and answer session because they had a guest. But when I became a fixture in there, you could see how these guys actually worked on changing their behaviors. One of the groups I like is called Criminal Gangs Anonymous, and they call each other out for being gang members, and that had been their life. And but most of these people were older, most of them, 40s and 50s. They've made their mistakes. They've learned from their mistakes, and they want to do better next time they get out of prison. And they would spend time talking to the younger inmates about changing, letting that gang mentality. A lot of these inmates don't have fathers in their homes. We all know that. They were raised by gangs, and that's all they know. And,
right.
So there's a culture among people that have learned the error of their ways that try to change younger inmates, try to let them learn sooner than they did. Learn while they're in their 20s and 30s instead of wait until they're in their 40s and 50s and seeing all the mistakes they made in their lives. So it can be a positive environment at times. I mean, prison by nature isn't positive. And with violence is and the gang influence on inmate behavior, it's a difficult challenge at times. But sometimes the right staff members and the right core group of inmates can change the whole culture of the facility. And that's something that CCC's always been. The staff there have always been good communicators with the inmate population. They've always talked to them, and it's one of those housing units has 1,200 inmates, has 10 officers on the day shift, one sergeant, one lieutenant. So how do you control 1,200 convicted felons with 12 staff?
Yeah.
Sure.
The only way to do it is to talk to them. Know about issues before they become big issues.
Yeah, you got to keep a handle on that. You got to know what's going on and try to mitigate those issues long before they become
a problem.
But you also
have to, you've got to really be observant. I would imagine the guys that are really great at that job, I mean, they see the problem coming a mile ahead of time. And that's a huge skill.
If you create a positive environment where people want to be there, the rest of the population will help you identify the disruptive influences too.
Well, that's true, because they don't want everything to blow up for them. They're kind of liking it, probably.
Yeah, they don't want the program to be interrupted, you know, whether it's a lockdown or just having an incident on the yard so they have to lay out in the sun or the snow for an hour or two until we get crime scene preserved and everything. So that's the best thing you can do to run a smooth prison yard is make it some place people want to be. And I will say this, CCC and High Desert have always had challenges with just the geography. 40% of the state inmates come from L.A. County. And what I touched on visiting earlier, people don't want to drive 8 hours to come visit their loved one. So, and that's something that the department said in their response. But Shasta County also puts thousands of inmates in the system, too. And we are the closest prison to Shasta County.
Yeah, you're 2 hours.
Yep.
So that's a doable thing. Wow, what a waste. So are there any, let's say the governor gets recalled and we get somebody in there who, well, let's face it, if we get anybody in there who's not an idiot, that's mostly anybody that's not him. If you get rid of Newsom, how likely is it on the path it's on that it could be reversed?
Well, my hope would be anybody that would take over that office would pump the brakes on a wide variety of things to evaluate it on its own merit. And I think we'll be vocal enough to at least get all we want. The question is, why CTC? We want a fair, objective look at which prison we should shut down if they're going to close one.
Sure.
And I can tell you this. I know a lot of the people that work at CDCR headquarters and the agency secretary down, and that's why I am so confident this decision didn't come from them. They're smarter than me, and they can look at the numbers that I've looked at, and they're going to know if they actually rank the prison, CCC would be somewhere between 5 and 7 to be cut.
Yeah. So does the governor have the ability on his own? I mean, if we get a new governor in there, do they have the ability on their own to to stop this or slow it down?
Of course. Okay. Newsom's campaign pledge was to close one, maybe two prisons. There's nothing in law that says he has to. And with the reduction in crime, or inmates, maybe not crime, but inmates, maybe it calls for to close a prison. They've already closed DVI. Maybe it calls to close another one. Just, I want them to pick the right prison. The one that's best for the taxpayers of the state, best for the mission or the department. That's why I'm highly confident this did not come out of CDCR. This was strictly politics. So we're going to close a prison in a deep red county, and we're not going to close a prison in where our constituents turn out to vote for us. It's crystal clear to me.
Naked politics. Just out of curiosity, do we really need to close any of them? I mean, you've been in this system for a long time. Does it make sense to close any of them?
One of the things that dictates to the Department of Corrections, we have a population control. It was referred to as the three-judge panel, but it was a case that they said overcrowding impacted inmates' access to health care. And then, because we were at 190% capacity, which I could do a whole show on that joke, because we designed these cells to have two inmates in it. But to ask for more funding 20, 25 years ago, the Department of Corrections said every cell supposed to have one inmate. If we have two in there, then we're at 200% capacity. We were at 190. The Supreme Court said we had to, of California said we had to be at 137.5, I believe. So it talks about that in this LAO report, that the state's keeping a 2,000-bed buffer in case there's a spike of incarceration. But I remember for 20 years you couldn't get elected to the statewide office unless you were tough on crime. Now it's exactly the opposite. That pendulum always swings. We just had a U.S. senator assaulted, mugged.
Yeah.
At some point, the media is going to start seeing the other side of it when their friends and families and neighbors are victims of crime, and then all those articles will be in the newspapers and on the news, and then we'll get tough on crime again.
Yeah, because we're getting ready to go back to that again. It's getting to the point of craziness. We have people roaming. I mean, we all hear the stories. People are arrested, and they're right back out there in 2 seconds.
Yeah, the citizens of the state will get fed up, and they'll start voting that way. But a lot of it, you and I both know, a lot of it's the mainstream media. Whatever they put out is what 80% of the voters listen to and believe.
Yeah, and there's that. Another little problem, except for the fact that you really can't hide the high crime because people live there. You can spin it if you're talking about another area of the country. If you're talking about foreign countries, they might not go there. But when everyone knows that you mostly don't want to go into our major cities just because of the crime, I think everyone knows that.
Right. But if they can't spin it, they just ignore it.
Yeah, that's never a good plan because, I mean, we all know what happens then.
Yeah.
So the short answer is yes. Based on current numbers and projections, they can close the prison. Long term, we'll see what happens. We have 40 million people in this. We always were a highly incarcerated population in this country. But it's one of the things that, with our freedoms and rights, I think it's a necessary evil to keep society safe.
Yeah, you don't have freedoms and rights if you don't enforce the laws, as we're seeing now. Remember when stealing cars was, you know, Grand Theft Auto? They even made a game about it. And now it's called, I'm too cheap to pay for a taxi, so I'm going to steal your car, drive it someplace else, and just leave it sit there. That's kind of a long name, but probably not going to be a video game. Oh, my gosh. Well, Mr. Angel, we appreciate all of your work in the correctional system. Thank you for keeping us, thank you for keeping all those people who were making us feel unsafe busy for all these years. And thanks for advocating for Susanville. So, folks, I hope you will go to the webpage. It's August 1st, 2021, and all this information is posted, how you can be an advocate and learn more and all those things. You can find it at WeThePeopleRadio.us, because Bill's asleep at the switch over there. Thanks again, Honor.